You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the 12th floor, 50 Penn Place in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the home of 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK, welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, Eric G., saying thank you so much for making us a part of your day. And this podcast is designed to get you through the rest of this workday, maybe get you to and from the high school football game that you're going to tonight, maybe get you down to Norman tomorrow, take care of the whole tailgate thing. It's got an expiration date of noon on Saturday. That being said, if you're a person that likes to color outside the lines, if you have a deep lack of respect for authority, you live life on your own terms, and you decide that you're going to listen to this podcast after the UCLA game. Maybe you're going to listen on Sunday. Maybe you want to save this podcast until the week of the Texas game or Bedlam or West Virginia. Maybe you want to wait till basketball season. Then you're my kind of person, because I've always had an admiration for those that live outside the law. To be completely honest, I think I've always wanted to join an outlaw motorcycle club, but I digress, and I thank you for whenever you listen to this. And if you know some people in an outlaw motorcycle club that would take a guy that is a total nerd and can't ride a motorcycle, maybe as a lifelong prospect, then let me know, because I'm all down for that. Coming up on the show today, we will talk about the subplots of this game, which makes it really interesting, because otherwise we're not going to have a good game on Saturday. OU's a 30-point favorite. They ought to smash UCLA. But the subplots will definitely make it worth watching, especially through the first half, whether you're watching on television or you're at Gaylord Family Memorial Stadium tomorrow or today, again, depending on when you're listening to this. Number two, or segment number two, we're going to talk about OU's pipeline to California and why throughout the years they have been able to cultivate that. I have some theories. I will throw those out and feel free to agree or disagree with those. And then lastly, we'll talk about OU's commitment to playing the historically good college football programs, or at least playing the programs that have good shiny names. And you'll get an opportunity to hear Lincoln Riley talk about that. And then I'll talk about how we should get together and go on a basketball road trip, because I threw out the schedule in late night with the Sooners last night, but I forgot to tell you that really there is one game I've got circled that I think we should all go to. It's definitely worth the road trip if you're willing to head north with me come December. My name's Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game and News Radio 1000 KTOK. I co-host Saturday Game Day with Randy Renner, which you can hear on Saturdays at 5 a.m. on KTOK and at 9 o'clock on 1340 The Game and the iHeartRadio app. You can also hear it all around the state on the ONN. And because the Locked On Podcast Network likes me to tell you things like this, I am a credentialed member of the media, and I've been covering OU for 4.5 years. I went to OU. I bleed crimson and cream. And what else? I can tell you where some of the more historic places on campus are, if you ever want to tour with me on campus, at least from what I can remember. Look, I've drank a lot since I went to OU. So let's jump into it. Segment number one, OU is going to destroy UCLA tomorrow. You know this. OU is a 30-point favorite. UCLA has no idea who their quarterback was going to be. I did check one more time before I started recording today to make sure of that. And I'll check one more time before we go in to record Saturday game day. But as of now, it could be one of three guys. And Wilton Spate was actually getting snaps yesterday, but it just looks like it's going to be a little bit too late for him to play quarterback. So it's done. It's over. I mean, this game is just not going to be close if OU comes out and just takes care of business tomorrow. And they don't go into one of those funks that they did, or they do, or have a tendency to do when they play Texas. If they just come out and stay focused, this thing will be over, much like it was last week in the first half. So what do you want to watch for Saturday? What are the subplots that might make this thing interesting? First and foremost, and we've talked about this a lot on this podcast, is will Caleb Kelly get moved to the Jack position? Will he go from inside at will to outside at Jack? And it certainly doesn't sound like it. I would say that the answer is no. Mike Stoops doesn't seem to be comfortable making that move. He's very happy with Curtis Bolton. He likes having Caleb Kelly behind him. And it doesn't seem like he wants to disrupt anybody else on the team who have been doing that job and at least proven that they've got an opportunity to play. I will tell you that this is starting to bother me the more that it lingers on, because if this is ultimately what's best for the team, you're doing the team a disservice by not allowing Caleb Kelly to go show off his athletic skills and prove that he can play multiple positions. No matter what Caleb Kelly wants, no matter what other players want, ultimately, if it's best for the team, you've got to make that move. Tie into that, what is becoming my personal crusade, for lack of a better term, or at least the thing that I'm going to hold on to until I see this kid get a lot of reps during a game, is will Levi Draper get the opportunity to play? And familiarizing myself with his story, his background coming from Oklahoma, what he did in the spring game, what he went through last year, talking to people that know him, we have heard that he might just be the best linebacker on campus at all positions, just all around, inside, outside. This guy is the absolute best. And it goes back to what we talked about with Caleb Kelly. If Levi Draper can help your team, why wouldn't you want him on the field? And why wouldn't you want him on the field for an extended period of time if he can wreak havoc the way that he's supposed to, and if he is as fundamentally sound as we've been told? Depending on how out of hand this game gets, we know Curtis Bolton should probably have a pretty good game, but let's say he doesn't. Does Caleb Kelly come in and spell Curtis Bolton? And if Caleb Kelly has a bad game, do we see Levi Draper spell Caleb Kelly? And I'm just going to keep going back to that until we see Caleb Kelly on the field playing for a period of time, as I said earlier, an extended period of time. But this is the thing that I'm going to hold on to. And I guarantee if I don't ask about it in the press conference on Saturday, somebody's going to ask about it if Levi Draper doesn't play. Subplot number three, who's playing quarterback at UCLA? You've got three to choose from. And the reason I bring this up is because OU's going to play UCLA next year out in Los Angeles. Does Chip Kelly have enough faith in the guys that he has on this team that they can handle running that offense? Do we see more of a Chip Kelly offense than we did week one against Cincinnati? My answer to that is much like the Caleb Kelly situation, and that would be no. I expect UCLA to run the ball. They ran it 89% last week. I believe that that will be the same case again this week, which subplot number two. Can OU, or subplot number four at this point, can OU stop the run and be effective stopping the run against a team with better athletes who's a lot more physical and has a couple of stud running backs and a guy like Bolu Olorunfemi who can be a power running back? And do they have to worry about some of the other guys at UCLA? I don't see this as being much of a problem. I think OU will be able to go out and dominate the line of scrimmage, be able to shut down the run, and no matter who is playing quarterback, I do expect OU to put pressure on them. On the offensive side of things for OU, the major subplot there is who gets more snaps at center. Is it ultimately going to be Humphrey, or is it going to be Alvarez? Is it going to be Creed Humphrey? Is it going to be Jonathan Alvarez? Are we going to see Jonathan Alvarez come in and start the game, which I expect to see happen? But how soon, if Jonathan Alvarez starts the game, do we see Creed Humphrey take over? And does he get more snaps than what Jonathan Alvarez does? And does that finally lead to him getting the starting job, if not at Iowa State, then maybe at the Army game or the Baylor game in the next couple of weeks after this UCLA game? I'm looking for that. I'm also looking to see if whether or not CeeDee Lamb will be more involved in the offense this week. I think you have to get him involved in the offense. That guy is just too good to just strictly return punts. He ought to be a really good go-to receiver for Kyler Murray. And then Grant Calcaterra, how much more can he contribute? Is there a red zone situation where you're using him? I would throw in which running back gets the most touches, but right now it just seems like Rodney Anderson's going to be the guy for OU, and there's no reason to think that he won't see more touches than anybody else playing that position. So there are your subplots for Saturday. Those are the things to be on the lookout for. That's what I'll be watching for on Saturday. And if for some reason this game is closer than that 30-point spread, then it's going to be panic time. And be sure to follow me on Twitter, at LockedOnSooners, as I tweet out. And that's the account I tweet from during the game, at LockedOnSooners. And if I'm going into panic mode, I'm usually a fun follow because I just start freaking out uncontrollably like every other OU fan. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. Coming up in segment number two, why OU has been able to build such a really good pipeline and get a lot of California talent. We'll get to that next here on LOS.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
Thank you for listening to Locked On Sooners today. I am Eric G., your gracious and humble host. And please listen to Locked On Thunder later this afternoon. Actually, that's going to be coming out sometime this evening, where we will focus on Maurice Cheeks and him getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And you'll have a chance to hear audio from Maurice Cheeks. We will also get a little bit closer to training camp. And I'll talk about the subplots. Talking about subplots with OU, I'm going to talk about some of the subplots with the Thunder. And they're not many, they're not near as many of them with the Thunder, but there are some good subplots to pay attention to. And then what else? Oh, yes, listen to the rest of the Locked On podcast at LockedOnSports.com, Apple iTunes, Alexa, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. Yes, you can get us at all those places. So let's talk about why OU has such a really good pipeline into California. And before I get to that, I'm going to criticize the OU Sports Information Department. With kind of like knowing that I could be 100% wrong about this, normally in game notes and normally in a media guide, and I just could not find this today, every school will spill it out. They'll usually put a map of the United States or a list of all 50 states, and then they will show you how many kids they have from each state that are currently on the team now, including DC area, etc. I couldn't find that. I could not find that in the OU media guide today. I couldn't find it in the game notes, and maybe it was just one of those situations I was looking too hard for it. But the reason that's there is, one, obviously it's going to help us do our job. It's more information for the media, but for recruits, it's something they want them to see, because if you're in Louisiana or you're from Louisiana and you see there's five kids from that state, or you're from California or from Washington, D.C., and I know I've already mentioned some of these states, and you just see that there's at least some guys on the team that are from your area and can understand your background, it's a great recruiting tool. It gives you that comfort to know that when you're coming to campus, you're going to get to hang out with somebody that you'll have something in common with. OU didn't print that, so I will just say that they've got a lot of kids from California. I don't know the exact number, but there is a lot. Caleb Kelly, a guy that we've mentioned ad nauseum on this podcast. Grant Calcaterra is from California. Buki Radley-Hines, also from California. And throughout OU's history, they've always been able to get good kids from that state. The guy that I will always think of as the signature player from California, for me, it's going to be Jamel Holloway. And that's showing my age, but coming in, running the option, helping OU win a national championship, he'll be right there at the top. And Kenny Stills from California as well. So there's always been a long history of it. And OU's not the only school that's cultivated talent from California in this area of the country. In Nebraska's heyday, they did a great job of it. Colorado is starting to build that pipeline again to get some of the upper echelon kids as they start to have success. And in their Big 8 days and in their Big 12 days, they were getting all kinds of talent from California. My theory on why it happens and why you're able to get kids, be it from the Los Angeles area, Northern California, or wherever, to come to OU is, one, I've always found it hard for you to be a star and carve out your own niche in your home state. And that goes for any walk of life. So you have a chance to get away from family, friends, the people that know you, the folks that recruited you, who may have one set of expectations for you, but that may not be who you are. And that's not saying that you're ducking a challenge. It's just saying that no matter what you do, if your family and friends grew up USC fans, or they grew up Cal or UCLA fans, they may have a favorite player that you can't overcome. And no matter what you do, if you're not elevating that program to the next level, they may not give you the credit you deserve. You come to someplace like Oklahoma, you make a mark in a football crazy state like this, then you're absolutely loved, then you're also viewed as one of ours. And the state of Oklahoma does a beyond incredible job of taking care of OU's football talent even after it graduates. No matter what your degree is, no matter what path you're choosing, you're an OU athlete, you graduate, there's always somebody there waiting to give you a job just because they believe that, one, you probably understand how to work hard since you played college football and you know what it means to get things done. But two, if it's a situation where there's some sales involved, it just never hurts to have OU football as a talking point to bring money in. The other thing, and this is something that Nebraska used, and I would imagine OU used it well, for those kids that came from inner city Los Angeles, it was a way to get away from just what they experienced in day-to-day life and not having to always be concerned about their life or their family or their friends. And that's where you saw Tom Osborne have a tremendous amount of success. You go into these neighborhoods, you recruit these kids, you take them someplace like Lincoln, Nebraska, and all of a sudden that they can relax. They can see that there is life outside where they are and that there's life at a much slower pace. And that's the same as it is in Norman, Oklahoma. You become sort of this big fish, small pond, slower pace of life, opportunity to see the world for a new place. Or new eyes, or see the world with new eyes. You come in and you adapt to it, and it either grows on you or you don't. And I've always thought California kids always tended, in a sense, to lean towards wanting to go back to their state because of that kind of California state of mind. But we've seen guys hang around here as well. And then finally, and this is the most obvious point, and that's why I didn't want to point it out first, that if you're not recruited by USC, yeah, UCLA is not a bad choice, but Cal Berkeley, you have to kind of be of a certain mindset to go there. Stanford, the academics really high there. Is that your thing? Do you want to go out of state to Washington, continue to play in the Pac-12 or Washington State or Colorado or Utah or Arizona State or Arizona? And even if you do go to those schools, what kind of run are you going to be able to go on for your time while you're there? And you're never going to compete at the level that you will when you play Oklahoma. And with all that being said, we waited too long to get to this. Here is Grant Calcaterra talking about being recruited or lack thereof being recruited by UCLA and in-state schools.
It's something that, you know, it's been on the schedule for a while and I've kind of looked at. I never really was a UCLA fan. I didn't really dislike them or anything, but being all the way out here and being able to play a team from back home is really cool, I think. I know a ton of players on the team. I played with Rick Wade. He's one of their better D linemen. And so I'm really excited to go out there and play some of those guys.
Were you ever interested in them, or did they factor at all into your recruitment?
I mean, they recruited me a little bit. But honestly, no schools from California really showed much interest in me. So that's also in the back of my head a little bit. So, yeah, I'm really excited to go out there on Saturday and play those guys.
You guys got a lot of California guys on the team.
Yeah.
Have you all talked about just kind of circling this game on the schedule?
We haven't really. But I know I've talked to Buki a little bit about it. He knows Darnay pretty well, one of their DBs. And so I know he's excited for it because he's around that area more than I am. He's around more LA, so I'm sure he's really fired up for the game too.
for college kids, that chip on their shoulder never goes away. I don't care how long. I don't care what year you are in college. I don't care if you're a freshman, a junior, a senior, whatever. When you get an opportunity to play against a school that did not recruit you and a school that you wanted to go to, you still want to go out and kick their butt. And it certainly sounds like the majority of the OU kids, not necessarily that they suffered from UCLA or any other school not recruiting them, but they do want to go out and stick it to their home state team on Saturday, and they should very well do that. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. Coming up next, we will close things out talking about OU's commitment to playing, well, the name schools.
This is Locked On Sooners, your team every day.
Listen to all the other Locked On podcasts at LockedOnSports.com and Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes, Google, Alexa. We got them all. Just say, Alexa, play Locked On Cubs. Alexa, play Locked On Yankees. She'll do that. Now that the NFL season's here, you can say, Alexa, play Locked On Dallas Cowboys. And there's a podcast for you, local experts talking about the biggest stories. Another name opponent for OU, OU again, catching them at a time when they are down. And it seems like throughout the Bob Stoops, now Lincoln Riley era, the only team they didn't catch when they were down was Ohio State. Everybody else, they're catching at the right time. And I get it. You're scheduling out so far, you never know how good everyone's going to be, but UCLA will bring money in. It will sell tickets. It doesn't matter that OU should go out and punk them on Saturday. Everybody's just excited to go out and see the helmets and the uniforms, and it looks really good in the media guide when it says you're now 4-1 over UCLA lifetime. And future opponents include LSU, include Michigan. I think Ohio State's back on the schedule, and so is Tennessee, and that's never going to change. And one of the main reasons it's never going to change is it doesn't matter how good the Big 12 is. The harder a schedule you play, the more favor you curry with the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, and Joe Castiglione and Lincoln Riley want to make sure they're in the committee's good graces.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, it's the ones we're looking at now are well down the line. Hopefully they ran me off out of here before we get to them. It's fun to look at those. To think ahead. You don't always know what people are going to be, you know, in 5-10 years. So you just kind of do your best, and there's also the fan aspect of that too. You know, bringing marquee games here has been kind of a hallmark of this program, and you know, something that we want to continue. So it's been great working with, you know, with Joe, with Kenny, with our entire administrative group. They've got a good plan that we're very much in line with, and we love playing these games like this, absolutely.
OU's basketball team also has a commitment to playing big-name opponents as well. And this year's schedule, which was released yesterday or finalized yesterday, is a great example of that. You've got Florida, USC, Wisconsin, Stanford, just to name a few, Wichita State is on the schedule. It looks like OU's going to play them on a regular basis. And then finally, the game that intrigues me the most, if for no other reason, and really, honestly, it only intrigues me for a couple of reasons. Who the opponent is, based on name, Notre Dame, and where the location is, Madison Square Garden. And it is on December the 4th. That is when that game will tip off. Now, on Saturday, December the 1st, is the Big 12 championship game. So you go down to Jerry World, you go down to Dallas, you hang out there on Friday. Then you catch a plane on the 2nd to New York, hang out there a couple of days, and then go watch OU play Notre Dame. Now, personally, me, I wouldn't mind taking a road trip to New York And I would actually, man, as much of an OU football fan as I am, and I'm a bigger OU football fan than I am an OU basketball fan. Being said, I really, really like the OU basketball program, and I really like Lon Kruger and think he's done a fabulous job. I digress. Now back to what's at hand. I've been to Jerry World. Now, I've never been to a Big 12 championship game, but I've been to Jerry World, and I've seen OU play football. I've seen OU play basketball, too, and I've seen them play at a neutral site. I saw them play at NRG, but I've never seen them play in Madison Square Garden. They have in my lifetime. It's been on TV, but never there in person to experience that. And for me, and I know this sounds nuts, that is just a more appealing trip based on city, based on historic school, and based on historic venue that I like. I would get more excited about that than going to the Big 12 championship game. In fact, if I could talk you into it, going to New York, starting that weekend, so we get up to New York on December the 1st, watch the Big 12 championship game at a bar somewhere close. I'll have to look and see if the Knicks are in town. Who knows? Maybe the Thunder are playing the Knicks then. I'll look and see if the Knicks are playing in town. You go catch a Knicks game, and then that day, December the 4th, which is a Wednesday, to me, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, yeah, Wednesday, you would go and then watch OU play. That would be the trip this year to take if you could make it. It's New York. It's around Christmas time. Yes, it's cold as balls, but it would be so worth it. No matter how good or bad OU is, no matter how good or bad Notre Dame is, I'm just excited about that. I like to see those two schools play each other, and then the venue just puts it over the top. And figuring if OU's in the Big 12 championship game and they win it, then OU will have a chance to go play in the college football playoff, and I would rather go see that than the Big 12 championship. And maybe, who knows, maybe they play in the Cotton Bowl again, which will be one of the bowl games that decides who's going to play in the championship, and maybe that's where they end up. So it's back-to-back trips to Jerry World, which would be fantastic. OU, you got to go and you got to get that number one seed. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Yeah, no pressure, Lincoln Riley. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a fantastic weekend. We will speak with you again on Sunday. And until Sunday, everybody love everybody. May God bless you and your family. And, of course, peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.